And I was literally reading 1 Corinthians 10 last night, and it was talking about, like, you can't drink from two cups, from the cup of God and the cup of the demon or the enemy. And that's what I felt like I was doing. And you don't realize it until hindsight.
Bro, the next day, I was walking by myself. I hear whispering behind me, and it's like, are you going to go jumping? Are you going to go jumping?
Oh, man. And I called on Jesus. I was like, Jesus, like, rid me from all these things. And I've never felt like, guys, I can tangibly tell you, like, I felt a presence.
I don't know why I started crying. That is actually so
sad, bro.
That's actually deep. Welcome back to the Next In Line podcast. I'm your host, Ephraim Nailoka, and today we've got another guest. So today we've got a content creator, and he goes by the name West. So today we're going to be here talking to him about Christianity, content creation, a bit about his life in general as well. And if you're in the Christian space, you might recognize him from like a couple of his viral clips as well, reviewing churches, trying out different places across the world in Bali, Vietnam, all those different things there. So, without further ado, West, welcome to the Next Online Podcast.
Appreciate it, my bro. Thank you.
How are you doing today, bro?
You know, it's the first time I've been in Manny for a while, so it's really nice. Yeah, like, people are so friendly up here. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it.
Yeah. So, how's the journey as well? Because I know the journey was a bit the journey was a bit long. So, basically, guys, for a bit of context, yeah. So, West is from London, and obviously the studio is based here in Manchester. And he had to take a 3.5-hour journey from London to Manchester.
But it was the fact that the train got cancelled halfway through in a random town I've never heard of.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
And then getting there in the hotel was it was a journey, but you know, it all worked out in the end. So can't complain.
Safely.
Amen.
But yeah, so I think it's best for any podcast when I have a guest to talk about childhood and to talk about kind of the come-up story, if you will. So if you don't mind talking a bit about your childhood, where you grew up, what life was like as a child.
Cool. So I was born in South London, Jamaican dad, British mum. It's like 99% of South London, I feel like. I got two sisters. And I'll be honest, our childhood was just a normal childhood to be like, you know, up until when my parents broke up, just a normal childhood. I think anyone who's experienced a like parent breakup, it was tough. Yeah. And I was like young, so I think it hit us quite hard. But yeah, if I'm honest, I look back at my childhood and it's never like simple and easy. Like I realize our parents, it's the first time they're figuring it out as well. But you know, it was good. Grew up with my dad in South London. And then from there, we moved a lot. We moved like house. So I think I've counted maybe like 35 times I've moved house in my life.
35 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even this year I've moved house like twice. So there's a lot of moving. Crazy. And you know, I realize I always say I want a bit of structure, but there's nothing wrong with like going with the flow. Cause life changes so much. You change so much. So, my childhood was all over. I played football. That's the reason why I moved a lot. And when I didn't get my contract renewed at 18, like most people who've played football most of their life was just like, what am I supposed to do now? So went into sales, then I went into the music industry and I worked in the music industry for about 5-6 years, quit, and then I started doing content. So that's like a speed run of my life.
Of your childhood. So when you were a child, you said you had a lot of, you moved a lot basically.
Yeah.
Like, so for a child, that causes a bit of instability, because arguably, like you're moving from place to place, you know, you're seeing different people. Did you move schools quite a bit as well, or was
I've moved schools a couple times.
Yeah,
and if I'm honest, I hated it because like making new friends again.
Yeah,
but I realized everything I went through has allowed me to be who I am now, because like, I find it easy just to adapt to new surrounding situations, people. So yeah, as a child, if you'd ask me to do it again, I wouldn't want to like. I don't want to relive my childhood.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds weird because nothing like traumatic happened, but it's like, it was long. It was long.
Yeah, I see that as well. Like, if somebody asked me, like, would you rather go back 10 years or go forward 10 years? I'd always say go forward 10 100%. Years. Because I feel like that time happened for a reason. You learnt your lessons and you move on. I don't really want to go back to, like, that same point in my life.
Facts.
And the same with me as well. Like, nothing traumatic happened in my childhood. Like, I was quite blessed with, like, a decent childhood. But I've lived through that now. Mm. I've learnt my lessons. So I don't find a point in trying to go back and
fix. Because there's nothing to fix. Like, it's like the butterfly effect. Like, if you fix that, then you might not be who you are, or you might take a different path. And I always say I'd never trade my life for anyone else's. So, yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah. So I was doing a bit of my research, going through a bunch of your TikToks, right?
Nice.
Right to the very bottom, guys.
Oh, wow.
All the way back. So I saw on one of your TikToks, you were briefly talking about kind of the different paths you took. From when you were maybe a teenager to now. How old are you now?
27.
So, you said you worked a bit in Dubai.
Yeah.
So, what were you doing in Dubai, and how was it like living in Dubai for a bit? Because, you know, Dubai is like a hot spot now. Everybody wants to go to Dubai. Yeah. But, yeah, so how was that?
It's actually a really funny story. So, I was a bit naughty when I was younger. I got in trouble with the law. And I had to stay at my mum's. I was no longer allowed to stay at my house. I got bailed to my mum's address.
Yep.
And I was in the middle of nowhere. And I moved out of home when I was 18. So I lived by myself from 18. And this was when I was like 20, about 20. So 2 years of my own freedom, maybe even 3 years. And I was like, this is great. And because I was living at my mum's house, it was cool. But remember, I grew up with my dad. So I wasn't used to like this. My dad was chill. Not that my mum wasn't chill, but it's just a different way.
Yeah.
And then one day we had an argument and she was just like, she said something which made me feel like less of a man. I can't remember. I was just like, so vexed. It was like, well, you're not in your house. You're in my house. Something like, it wasn't that deep, but I was like, you're talking to me. So then I went and I just applied to jobs all over the world. Made up some random seat. This is before ChatGPT. Yes. So I found some template and just said I worked here, there. Kind of within my experience range, but you know, I definitely gassed it up. And life went on, forgot about that saga me and my mum made up. And then maybe like 2-3 weeks later, I got a call from Dubai. And I remember a lady called Joy. And she was like, hi, we've seen your CV. Like, we'd love to interview you, Dylan. And I was kind of forgetting, like, what was this? Like, oh, yeah. So I was like, what's the worst that can happen? Went through with it. And then spoke to like the MD Stu, who I still speak to this day. He's like one of my closest friends, my mentor. But he like spoke to me on the phone. A lot of similarities. He's a guy from up in Newcastle. He lives in Dubai. He's doing well for himself. And don't know why, he kind of took a risk in essence. Because he's like, it's like about this kid. He told me this after, obviously. Yeah, he didn't say this on the phone. So then the next day, I remember I got an email and it was just like, I'm sorry to say. And I was like, ah, oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
It's like, but you're going to have to say goodbye to your family, pack your bags, like, you're coming to Dubai.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, like I said, I went through like a bad stage from like legal problems, da 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 da. And I was just very on my face, like I had nothing. So this was like a fresh start. So I went, moved to Dubai. And, you know, that really shaped me because it's so funny. Like a few people know this, but when I went there, I literally had nothing. Like, I mean, I think I had £20 in my bank account, something like that. Like just enough to get the taxi to the accommodation because they sorted out 3 months of accommodation and that's it. So I was waiting for that first paycheck to hit. So I had a girlfriend at the time and my mum, they're like, my dad was in jail at the time, so I didn't really speak to him as much. But they were like the only two people I really spoke to. And they were like to me, what's going on? Like every time I see you, you're eating the same meal. And I used to have a big bag of nuts in my room. And I was, and because it was the most value for money,
yeah.
It was like, I don't know, 30 quid. But yeah. I was thinking that's going to last me for time. So I just always be, I was like a ferret or like a squirrel. So I was just eating these bag of nuts. And one day they kind of clocked on. They're like, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, you've eaten the same thing. Like, can I see your room? I didn't even have enough money for bed sheets. So I used a towel.
No.
And I used like the towel you'd go like, to the shower. That was like my sheet. Then I use another towel as my thing. But I didn't care. Cause in my head, it's like, this is the comp. Like I've got a roof over my head. Like I'm on my ones. Like, and I can't say I was there crying. I kind of loved that side of it. Just slugging it out. So, when they saw that, they're like, no. And then I remember I heard my Monzo thing go ding. And they sent me like 30 quid, like go buy yourself a pillow. Cause I was using my old clothes as like a pillow. But it was like such a juxtaposition. I was in Dubai. I was even in a marina. So like where I was, it was beautiful. You could see out, you know, that the picturesque Dubai, what you can imagine. But I had niche, like But I was 20. I was 21 at the time. So it's like, I was just trying to get it. And yeah, after that first paycheck hit, bed sheets came in. You know, we're doing well. But yeah, that's the story of me going to Dubai.
So you briefly mentioned a bit that you had some problems with the law.
Yeah.
If you can share, what kind of, was it more just like antisocial things? Was it like, what kind of stuff did you get in trouble with, basically, if you just don't mind sharing?
Like, hang around the wrong people, wrong place, wrong time. Mm. Something really serious happened and I was just there. And not to say like any like shift of blame, but it's like, you know, when you could just be the wrong place at the wrong time. And I kind of got caught up in things I shouldn't have. And yeah, I was on tag for 9 months. I had to go Crown Court. Someone I know really well went to jail for years. So like, it did change my life a lot, because that could have also been me. Like, that was part of my testimony, by the grace of God. Like, I felt like I got another chance. Mm. And not to say I deserved another chance, but like, I felt like, how could this happen? Like, this is like, how have I ended up in this position? And you realize only a few wrong decisions can really wind you up in a bad place. But yeah, like, it was serious what happened, but it's just, it shows, it can, if you surround yourself with the wrong people, and when you're young and mature and you don't really like have that wisdom to be like, I shouldn't be doing this, even if you're not involved, yeah, like, it can go south. So yeah, that's a brief.
Yeah. That's crazy, because I always say that like your the people in your circle kind of reflect who you are as a person.
Facts.
in a certain aspect. And I was always really picky about who I was friends with in childhood, because I knew if I surround myself with the wrong people, then I could get involved in something by association.
Bro,
I could
it.
Be innocent as anything, but because I'm associating with a certain type of person, they might just throw me in under the bus and stuff like that. So,
and you never think it will happen to you.
Exactly.
You're like, nah, I can't.
And nah, it could never be me. It could never be me, but it's you. So,
Liver.
So that's mad. And living in Dubai, how long did you live in Dubai for?
I was there, I think, like a year and a half, because I had to leave because of COVID. I didn't have to leave, but if we rewind to COVID, Dubai originally was like locked down. Mm. You had to get a permit to go to the shop. When I used to look out from my apartment, I'd see like police patrols to like catch people if they're out their house. It was scary. Mm. And I worked in the financial industry, so like everything was done. Like, everyone remembers that time. Everyone's like, it's over. Like, it was the biggest like decline since like the Great Depression. Mm. So I was like, my business is dried up. Like, no one knows what they're doing at work. Like, I can't leave my house. My friend who I live with, like, literally maybe like 3 weeks before, chipped back to London. So I was like, this is horrid. So I just stopped working. And I remember my boss was like, can I look at your laptop, like, did like remotely? Mm. They're like, you haven't done anything for the last 2 weeks. And it's like, who's this number you've been on the phone to for 2 hours? And I was like, that's my mom. I was just like, I ain't doing this. And I quit, came back to London. And I kid you not, a week later, Dubai opened up. And that's when everyone went there to like escape COVID. It was like, everyone went there to like party and stuff.
Yeah.
And I looked back and I was like, oh, I should have stayed. But realistically, like, I loved, unpopular opinion, I loved being back for COVID, because I was like with my family. Mm. Like, it felt like a community. Like, I don't know. It was just like, we're in this together, kind of. Like, obviously, it was horrible. Mm. But there was a silver lining to it in my life.
Yeah. And yeah, around that COVID time, do you remember like the Boris Johnson announcements and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Bro, that was actually a crazy time.
Clapping pans outside the house. Because I wasn't used to it. I didn't know about I didn't stay in touch. I was like, why are people clapping? I was like, I thought someone was outside the house. And they're like, no, it's a thing we're doing now. And I'm like, yeah, British.
Yeah. That was crazy. That
it was crazy.
It feels like another lifetime ago, to be fair.
It's half a decade ago, maybe even longer. And time is just, it's moving. It's moving,
quickly,
yeah,
quickly.
For real.
So then when you came back to London, you worked in, was it private health?
Yeah,
sales?
Yeah. Oh, crazy.
I did my research.
You did. Crazy, yeah. Yeah, I worked in private healthcare sales, and that was boom, like, that was crazy, because COVID on the back, like, even though it didn't actually affect COVID, like, but people just wanted better healthcare. So made a killing, like, excuse the pun. But it's funny, I quit that job because of the Queen's Gambit. This is such a random fact, but have you ever watched the Queen's Gambit?
I've never watched it.
You know, it's about it's like the series about chess.
Nah.
Have you heard about it?
Heard about it, but.
So it's like a woman who, like, definitely got something with up
there.
And she just loves chess, And long story short, she don't care about nothing but playing chess, and then she becomes like one of the best in the world. But for me, like, I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of sick. And she didn't care about anything other than her dream. And I was like, my dream is not to be working in private healthcare. So I was like, the company I work for, they used to do something called mega days, which when I look back is insane. It used to be like 12 hour shifts, but like they would be like, it's a mega day. Like books you into thinking it was a good thing. And I used to do them because it was like ROI. Like the more time, I just make more money. And for me, I was just focused on the bag. So I was like, this is actually like slave labor. And my boss was a sociopath. There's something like, we did not get on. We like clashed constantly. And yeah, I was just like, I can't do this. After watching The Queen's Gambit, I was like, I need to quit. So I just quit.
On the spot.
Straight up. Like, I just quit. I was like, I ain't doing this anymore. And I'm so glad I did, because that led me on to my next venture. But yeah, private healthcare still.
Private healthcare.
If you know, you know. Yeah.
And then after that, you also mentioned as well that you started to get into business, into cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
How was that, getting into crypto and stuff like that?
So off the back of leaving Dubai, I started running like a Discord server, because like penny stocks were booming. Crypto was kind of, I wasn't really involved. It was more penny stocks.
Okay.
And I made a little community which grew to thousands of people. I had like a YouTube channel. No one knows it's me to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, me and my business partner, we were just doing really well, just trading penny stocks and then like hosting a community for like people who followed us. And then from that, I remember we had a couple stocks which just went crazy. Couve, CBBT, Alpine, if you guys remember these, like whoever's in the penny stock world, like they were like the goats of like people made bank. They were like the safe moon of penny stocks. And then we used all the money to then invest it into crypto miners. So we were like, in our head, we thought we were just Jordan Belfort. We were like, you know, let's not be the market. Let's like host the market. Let's become cryptocurrency. So we're like, I remember we had, the decision was either we're buying a G-Wagon or we're putting it into miners. And it's like, for us, I was like, if we put it into miners, we could be buying private jets. And we're young, like, and again, all the money I made from doing my healthcare sales, like we just went all in. And I built my whole crypto farm and it was doing amazing. Like had the office, probably a bit slightly bigger than this room, and just full of rigs. We just learned off YouTube and Reddit. And from there, I just went all in. But if guys remember back in like 2022, energy prices went up like 4.5 times within like the space of a week. So that was our like margins gone. Bitcoin crashed and we lost everything, like everything, all the money. We like I said, we put a lot of time, effort into this, and it went. But I wasn't even bitter, because my next venture I already kind of stepped into, so I was like, nah, like kind of just moved on.
New thing. So after the cryptocurrency, was it the artist management?
That's when I was working music.
Okay, so can you talk a bit about the music industry, because I have a lot of opinions about the music industry, and we'll get into that a bit later when it comes to, you know, being a Christian in the music industry and stuff like that. So yeah, just talk a bit about, you know, how you started out in the music industry, what made you want to get into the music industry, and just a bit about your journey.
So it was way back when before I moved into my mum's and I got involved with people I shouldn't have, blah blah. My neighbor was artist manager, and the artist lived around the corner. I won't say who it is, but like they were doing their thing in those days. So like we had mutual friends, and then we ended up just rolling together, because I was on tag, I couldn't really go anywhere. So I was always kind of here and there, and I looked after a couple of producers who had a few cuts on some records, but there was no money in it. That's why I moved to Dubai, because I'm like, this is dead. Like it's costing me money at this point, but I've always had my fingers in the pies, if that makes sense. We had a studio in Woolwich, which like we used to always be at, and people used to come through. So I learned so much from that, like hustling. That was hustle. That was tough. But there was just no return from it. And I was like, I do need to actually earn a living. So when I came back from Dubai, it was kind of always secondary. But when like COVID was still prevalent, me and a couple of my mates who I was managing before I left, he was still kind of doing music, but he was modeling as well. And we were just like, I don't know, we just like, let's just start throwing parties. So we started throwing like these private parties, which to be fair grew. Like we started doing sponsorships with Soho House, Chivas Regal sponsored our party. Like we grew it to a stage where it was actually like a business, and we were turning over a good amount, but it was always just like us man winging it. But from the back of that, his music career started bubbling as well. So one day, I remember randomly, just he posted a song on TikTok and it just blew up. And then between that and a week later, we were living in Miami. So all those losses from crypto are kind of just, yeah. I was like, who cares about that? I'm in Miami. Yeah, so yeah, it was very much just, there was no plan. It just randomly, everyone kind of fell into their roles. And because I had previous experience in managing artists or management, and like I've always been on a business tip, I was like, yeah, like it just makes sense.
Yeah. And how long did you work in the music industry for?
So I originally started in like 2018.
2018.
But like I didn't really even see nothing till 2022. So, but like again, I was living in Dubai at one point. So it was never like constant, but yeah, it took a while. Took a long time.
And you mentioned as well online in social media that even though on the outside you were living like this nice flashy lifestyle with, you know, like a lot of young boys, like when they look at like that kind of lifestyle, they think that's the dream. Like, if only I could be on those tables with like lots of girls around, the partying, the money, the drinking, like everything. Like, so at what point did you look at that and be like, actually, this isn't all what it seems?
It's so funny, right? Because last time I was in Manny was for a show. We was doing it at the O2, then we went live. And I just posted a video about saying I went past the hotel I was staying at, and it like a revelation hit me, because now I'm up here speaking the word about God and like how it's changed my life. Last time I was here, I couldn't have been further from it.
Yeah.
And I was literally reading 1 Corinthians 10 last night, and it was talking about like you can't drink from two cups, from the cup of God and the cup of the demon or the enemy. And that's what I felt like I was doing. And you don't realize it until hindsight. At the moment, there's something missing. Like there's a clear insecurity, and you don't really realize it, because why do you need to be around all these women or be on this table or be seen or have the flashiest jewelry? Like, why? You have to ask yourself why. And half of the time, if you were to ask me that, I wouldn't have an answer. It's like, because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
But then you realize when you become more secure in like, not only your faith, but like yourself, that it means nothing. Like, I see it now from, I still have friends in the music industry, and I still see the same people. And it's like, yeah, there's a turnover. There's like a new guard of whether that's people who work in it, the women, whatever it may be. But it's like they're all chasing something. And it's only until you're outside of it, you're right. I don't even want to be a part of it. I couldn't imagine anything worse than being in that anymore, because you're running a losing race and you can never reach fulfillment, because what is fulfillment? There's always going to be a bigger table or a bigger car or a bigger, like you'll never reach a pinnacle and you're always looking for the pinnacle. So yeah, for anyone looking to do it, I can't deter you from it, because it shaped me who I am now. But go in for the reasons of why you're really doing it. Some people just love music. I liked music, but you know, I liked the perks which came with it.
Of course, yeah.
And like, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And if you're, especially if you're Christian, like, is what I'm doing glorifying God? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
Do you think you can be a Christian in the music industry and genuinely thrive? Do you reckon a Christian, a full Bible bashing Christian, could be like the same level as like Jay-Z, Beyonce, you know, Chris Brown? Do you think that's a possibility?
No. Okay,
why do you think that?
Because the music industry is known to be built on a lot of deceit, a lot of lies. So if you are to the word by the word, Bible bashing, as you say, then you have to tell the truth at all times. You can't, you know, move a bit shady. And again, not saying these people are shady or you have to, but there'll be moments where you might have to put your integrity aside and say one thing to one producer and one thing to another. And I'm not saying this is like the end of the world kind of things, but if you're trying to be by the word, it's very hard to play a game where no one's playing fair. No one's playing fair, especially in America. Like, I've had experience in the UK industry. My main experience was in America.
Okay.
And if you guys think what's going on here is mad, wait until, like, if you ever experience out there, they are different, different level. Like,
really?
You can't compare on what lengths they're willing to go to. Any length. There's no length they're not willing to go to. So with that being said, that's why you can't, in my opinion. If you can do it, bruh, you're second coming to Jesus or something, because I don't know how you're managing that one.
So then would you say the same about like Christians and business then? You know how like some people say if you're a true Christian, you can't be a billionaire, for example, because if you're a billionaire, then there's a lot of, you know, exploitation, a lot of corruption. Like, what do you think about that then? And how would you then, you know, looking at some stories in the Bible, was it King Solomon who was like the richest man in the world? So, and he was obviously a Christian. So what's your kind of opinion on that?
Now, we can, in my opinion, people can get too focused on certain things where it's like, if you're a Christian, you can and can't do this. So like within business, if you're scaling your business and it's like you reach a certain amount of wealth, it's like you can't have that much wealth without, again, what you say, exploiting other people. Yeah, but yeah, it's yeah. like, I always look at it in, okay, let's say the shoes you're wearing and you're a Christian, right? But they, how do you know someone wasn't exploited to make those shoes? Like that, you can go to any length to find sort of nuances to support or go against someone's argument. Mm-hmm. However, money is just a magnifying glass. If you're a good person before money, you'll be even better with money. Mm-hmm. You can do so much more with it. If you're a bad person before money, you're even worse. So in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with a Christian billionaire, because think of all the good things he can do. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a cliche, but like between him and God, they know what's within his heart. Mm-hmm. So if his heart posture's right, like, it's a very fine line you can tread. Mm. I'm very big on like lived experiences. Mm. I've never lived a billionaire's life. Yeah. I don't know what comes with that kind of, you know, wealth, power. But I don't see why not. Because like you said, King Solomon, the most wealthiest man, one of the most, in my opinion, you got Paul, you got Solomon, I even throw Peter. Like, they're some wise guys. Yeah. And like, if they can do it, of course, why can't you? But lived experience, I ain't lived that life. I'm looking from the outside in, so who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we also haven't mentioned the fact that, obviously, you're obviously a Christian, but can you talk a bit more about your testimony and what kind of made you come to Christ?
So I actually got baptized in 2019, in Dubai, of all places. Now, I was thinking about this for the last few months. Like, my testimony has been years in the making. Mm-hmm. And I say that because, again, I was saved years ago, effectively. Yeah. But I had no idea what I was doing. And I say this because growing up in a, I wouldn't say a non-Christian household, but I wouldn't say a Christian household.
Yeah.
Like, my mum's dad was Catholic. My mum was just a normal, you know, mum. Mm-hmm. My dad is a normal dad, I guess. But, like, he would always, like, have remnants of Christianity, like you say, you know, I pray and stuff, but like it was never practiced openly. Now my nan used to buy me like little like crosses and stuff, so my nan had more of a faith, but I think it's more from her generation.
Yeah,
but it was like never spoken about really in my household. Now when I was working in music and I left home and I was 18, and the people I hung around with were within like the music industry, but they were Christians. Now looking back, I'm like, I don't think they're really Christian. Because they were doing the same stuff I was on, but then being at church on a Sunday and they're like, they were the most, they wouldn't swear. Like, they wouldn't swear, but I'm like, but you'll,
but you're, you know what I'm saying? Apart from swearing.
I think that's the least of your worries right now. But that was like my outlook on Christians, because their family was, they were members of ministry. Like, that's what you men are on. So I was like, whatever. During my time when I was going through my legal problem, like, I decided to go to church one day. And I did a video about this, is when they tried to baptize me the first time I ever stepped into a church. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. That's kind of a red flag though.
Bro, like, it was crazy. I skipped a couple bits out, but I was a different person clearly, because I like nearly grips the guy up after, because I'm like, you lied to me. You said you're here to give me a leaflet. And they're trying to put me in a room with like seven aunties all in a chest. I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I left there and I was like, it's a very Pentecostal church. So I was like, that's what it, like Christianity, I'm good. And then my friend pleaded with me to go to Lewisham Tab, and I went, and if I'm honest, it just connected. Like, Pastor Michael White, he was talking about real life stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is different. But I was living so far. I was in like Rochester, and going up all the way to Lewisham, it was like an hour and 20. So that after a couple of times, I just stopped going. I even lost my car, so that's another story in itself. But yeah, it was like these little elements of it building up. And then when I went to Dubai, it felt like a complete like clean slate. And I was like, you know, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And then I said that to my friends, brothers and family, who was like, again, they were Christian. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, they walked more of the walk. Like, yeah. I can say they really did walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And Josh Pask, I don't know, he played for Coventry, West Ham, but he runs a lot of like Christian related things within football. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he baptized me in Dubai. However, my life did not change. Carried on living the same life. Like, there was no, not that he or anyone was supposed to like tell me how to work, but I just carried on. Like, yeah, I've been saved, but where's the party at? Like, you know, it was just, there was no difference in how I was. Yeah. And it was only until I went to Bali and I kind of realized I was running my whole life. I've always been running from something. And it was like, not only like myself, but responsibility. Anytime something gets tough, it's like, nah, I'm good. I'm chipping. That's why I've jumped. Every time there's something happen, I'll just jump to a new job. And it's always been fruitful, but it's like, I'll just be like, yeah, there's something else, something better. Mm-hmm. And then, when I was in Bali, like, I had a bad breakup. It was so cliche, but it's, I was finding myself, but I never wanted to say it. But now I can look back, I was definitely trying to find myself. And I was like, I'm just going to go for a couple of weeks on a boxing retreat. Mm-hmm. And I just stayed for like a year and a half. But during that time, some guy used to like promote at our parties.
Yeah.
He randomly just turned up in Bali. And I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, I live here. I was like, oh, like, we didn't really know each other like that, but we knew each other.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, we stayed in touch. And he's like, oh, I'm going to church on Sunday. Do you want to come? I was like, I ain't doing anything. And that's the first time someone's actually openly invited me to church. Mm-hmm. So I went, there was like free spring rolls, some drinks. And I was like, they started worshiping. I was like, it's kind of cool. Like, they had a guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like 20 people in a hotel conference room. So I was like, this is pretty into, I was like, this seems like a church. This is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And the pastor was an American guy, Don. And I was like, cool. Like, nice. That's all, whatever. Carried on every week going. But during the week time, back to normal. Like, again, there was no convictions. It was like a TED talk. I was using it as like a motivational speech.
Yeah.
And as soon as I left that building and stopped posting a quote on my Instagram,
back to your
old, I was just in the world, like, let's be real. However, in November of 2024, so just gone, the 13th of November, I was, and it's so funny because that was a date where I actually, like, I bust case effectively years before. So like the 13th of November, don't know why it keeps springing up. Mm-hmm. And I was there in my room. And it's been on the back of partying, like being a Sunday Christian at best. Like, I was regularly attending church, and the church has grown now from 20 people to like 400. So like, really? Church has expanded in it. Mm-hmm. I was a part of like the church, but I wasn't doing anything which was like walking with Christ, right? And I just felt this, I don't know, just like conviction, but I didn't know it was conviction at the time. I was like, something wrong here. Like, but I didn't know, no one was there to guide me. Not that anyone had to, but it was like, I just felt like I was just messing about.
Yeah.
And then it came to it, I was going to bed, had my YouTube open. I always like watch a YouTube video when I'm falling asleep. Anyway, I'm looking at it and I'm like laying on my side. And I remember the air conditioning unit had 23 degrees, like the YouTube video I was watching. And then I was like drifting off to sleep. Then I just stopped and I just couldn't move. And I've never had sleep paralysis before, like ever.
It's the worst.
And a lot of my friends have dealt with it. And I'm like, that's crazy. Mm. And I'm like, I've got my whole life without having it. So I clearly don't have it.
Yeah.
And I had sleep paralysis for the first time. And now during this time, I'm like, obviously shook. So I'm like, what's going on? Then I hear this like loud groaning, whooshing, like gargling sound from behind me. And I've been through a lot in my life. There's moments I'd say I've been scared, but it's more like an excitement. I was genuinely, like, I was petrified. Like, I felt hopeless. Like, I've never felt so, like, negative, dark energy in this room. But I was conscious. This wasn't like a dream. Like, I've had nightmares. I was there, like, peeing myself, watching this YouTube video. Some guy, like, it was like, I think it was like Dude Perfect or some random stuff. So I was like, what is going on? And it didn't get nearer to me, but it was just in the corner of the room behind me, just, like, groaning. I'm like, this is the devil. Like, there's no other explanation. Like, what is this? And Bali being a very spiritual place, it makes sense why people say be careful there, because there's multiple gods, there's idolship, there's these ceremonies people are doing without even realizing they're doing it. And I've never been on that. Like, the whole water fountain ceremony and ayahuasca, like, that's never been a bit of me.
Yeah.
But, like, you're around it constantly, like, all the time. from like all these parties and what people are doing in them, and I'm like, even being around this, it's clear like this place is heavy, like heavy with spirits. One was in my room and I was peeing myself, like I was shook. I was like, oh my God, like what, like help me, like God help me, like I couldn't move. And then I remember like my friend told me time ago, he's like, when I get sleep paralysis, I try and like wiggle my hands and my feet and like I slowly gain control. And I just, that just came into my head. And I was just like, I'm just doing this. And I was like, yeah, I was wiggling my hands. And then it felt like my consciousness sort of slammed into me. And I like, turned around, it was gone. There was nothing there. Like, it was just silence, like slight cricket in the background. Like similar to this setting with the aircon, just a slight hum. And I was like, oh my God. So I got my journal and I still got it to this day. It's like the 13th November, 2024. I was like, I need to change in capitals. And I underlined it. Yeah. And I just spoke about what just happened. And then, from that point, that's when like my walk really started, from cutting off, like going out, drinking. Like, I wasn't a heavy drinker, but if I'm around, I was like, go on then, why not?
Yeah.
But I never really enjoyed drinking anyway. So it's like, not that these make you any closer to God, by the way. It was just for me, my, like things what tempted me or my issues, I had to like deal with them head on. Like instead of being like passive, like I had to be offensive and be like, I ain't going, I ain't doing that. Like I'm just focusing. So again, it was a figuring out process, and it was until I came back. So my church review thing has never been a thing, by the way. Like my earliest videos is me just documenting what I get up to. The earliest video was me in Bali in like October saying, come with me to a Bali nightclub, in a church in a nightclub. It was just, come with me to this taco bar. Like it was just that kind of content I was doing. And then when I went to Thailand and then Vietnam, like I was like, well, I don't even, like, what am I doing in my life? Like, I'm kind of just traveling around. Again, I was working in music. I took a massive break. And I was like, I need to actually, like, get on. Like, living in Bali is just too passive. Like, I need to be in the hustle. Like, I'm from London. I need to be back.
Yeah.
So I left. And that's when I landed in London. I just posted a video saying, like, guys, looking for a new church. Shout me. And I don't know, thousands of comments have come to this. And I was like, I've never been in Christian talk. I didn't even know there was this side. Like my page was like random cat videos and you know, like my FYP was not on that algorithm. I was like, oh my God, like where's all these people come from? So I was like, someone was like, go to whatever church, like Hillsong. I was like, oh, I'll try out Hillsong. And then along with my other content, I was just coming with me to Hillsong. And then that really obviously connected. So yeah, it was never like planned. Like my walk, really, it's always like revealing itself, but I guess from that point in November is where like my testimony like all came together. And from being back in London now to like what I'm doing, it's all kind of making sense. And just really, not just, I always say like, don't look at me as any teacher, I'm figuring it out day by day, but like actually walking the walk, not just saying I am, if that makes sense.
Perfect. Oh wow, that was a powerful testimony.
Yeah, it's a long one, sorry.
It's a powerful testimony. Yeah, going back to what you said about, you know, sleep paralysis and stuff like that. I remember when I was a bit younger, I was like a vivid dreamer. And I remember I had sleep paralysis like twice or like three times and stuff. And my mum's a Christian. I grew up in like a Christian household. My dad, kind of similar to you, he's more like, you know, like he's Christian, but he's not like Christian, you know what I'm trying to say? My mum is more the one who's like being teaching about the word of God. Yeah, like a proper like woman on fire for God. And when I used to get like sleep paralysis, I remember like whenever I called on the name of Jesus, that's when it started to go away. So a lot of people who might not, you know, be Christian and who might be curious about faith and stuff like that. And I have a lot of Muslim friends who are, you know, strict Muslims and they don't really believe in Christianity and stuff like that. So my question to you is, what, why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? Why not these other gods? Why is it Jesus, and what's so important about Jesus in particular?
When it's, no, it's crazy you said, when you call on the name of Jesus, there's power in his name. And I am very much of the ilk, like I grew up like there has to be evidence, right? And you guys do your own research, but like look into the evidence of Jesus. Like he lived, he walked on this world, he was resurrected after 3 days, the tomb is empty. Do you know how many people died? Died for him. Don't get me wrong, I love my boys. But, like, if the lie goes too far and they're going to kill me to be like, is this man the son of God or not? I'm like, yeah, I'll be real. like, so just look at the evidence, right? But away from that, my own experience, like, even recently, I was dealing with severe warfare. The situation I was dealing with, I was going through severe warfare spiritually, and I felt like I was being attacked. And my boy, and, like, God bless him, he's helped me so much on this journey because he's been following faith for longer. Mm-hmm. However, like, you do need people to lean on when you're feeling weak, and like, I'm very blessed to have him. Mm-hmm. And I said, bro, like, you know, it's a situation. He said, bro, you need to like pray out loud and like call on Jesus to like banish these anxieties, these fears. And I've never done that. I've always prayed in my head, or like if at most a whisper, right? And I've never really been bold in my quiet place. Like, it's funny because, you know, you'll see people bold in church, but it's like, I'm not even bold in my quiet place. Like, when it's just me and the Lord. And I called on Jesus. I was like, Jesus, like, rid me from all these things. And I've never felt like, guys, I can tangibly tell you, like, I felt a presence, like, within me, which lived within me. And it's like a fire, just, it just burnt all of those things to a crisp. And I was like, it's real. Like, it's genuinely real. And I've never done that. And it's not like it feels like it's like a power. Like, you can't, I don't use it every day. You should use it. Yeah. Call on Jesus every day. But for me, it's like, you know, I'll pray. I have a good prayer life. But when I call on Jesus for like, I need your help now. It's like Uber Eats delivery premium. Like, he's coming now. And, you know, I've never researched other religions. Mm. I've been like effectively Christian. I was baptized as a kid. I had a christening. But, you know, I'm never here to, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian. Like, I haven't researched everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a teacher. I'm just documenting my journey. And I can say it's real, like, based on evidence, not on feelings, mm-hmm. on like what has happened, like ABC. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus has saved my life, and not only my life. I've seen it within my whole family, mm-hmm. within my friends, within my community. So follow the evidence, and the evidence points that Jesus is really him. Like, he's that guy.
He's that guy.
And he's that guy for me. So yeah. And also, I want to touch on, the more you learn about Jesus, the more you relate to him. I could never relate to him before. When I heard about Jesus, it was like, peace be with you. Yeah. Like, God loves you. Yeah. I'm like, I hear that, but like, I'm not from that. Yeah. When I heard Jesus was flipping tables and calling people hypocrites, that's what I'm on. Like, not that, but I mean, like, I can relate with that. Like, Jesus,
it's a bit
is,
of me, though.
Yeah, there's a Jesus is like, he's on it. Like, he's not here just to mess around. So yeah, there's serious power in his name because he's really him.
Mm. And how, like, with yourself, like, how does God kind of speak to you? So with me, when I was younger, I used to dream a lot. And there were certain dreams that were so crazy to me that I only know it was God. So, for example, there was this one time. So I was living in, I wouldn't say the ends, but it was like near the ends, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I was living in that kind of area, and nothing had actually happened to me before. Like, I was actually fine with everybody. I wasn't associated with any bad people per se, but I was just in the area. And then one night I had a dream that round the corner from my house, so where, you know, the rough people were, that we got robbed or something like that. Like, my dad was in the dream saying like, oh yeah, they robbed us. They took everything away from us, everything like that. And then I was like, who robbed you? And he was like pointing at like those people, like, they robbed me. So then I woke up from the dream and I told my mum straight away, because my mum is like, you know, the Christian.
On fire
for God. So I was like, mum, I had this bad dream. And she was like, obviously, we need to pray. We need to rebuke it in Jesus' name, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, cool, I'll pray about it. Bro, the next day I was walking by myself. So this was during like COVID time. So I had my mask on and I had a JD bag. And I was walking like late at night, same kind of scene to like the dream. I was walking late at night. So I had to go straight. And then if you turn right, that's my house. So like the road was there, and then on the right was my house, and then on that road there was where the rough people were, the people from ends, like, you know, the roadmen. And I was like walking straight, and then, you know, when it's like you can see people but you're not trying to see people, so it's like I tried to ignore them because I was like, I know people are there, but I can't say anything because it's like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I now like go straight and I turn right, and then I hear whispering behind me, and it's like, are you gonna go jumping?
Oh, mad.
So then, when I was in that moment, I was like, don't look back, just carry on walking. Because I was by myself, and then they were like these two guys in like, you know, balaclavas.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, for fuck's sake, not today. So then I carried on like walking, so I turned right. And then in my head, it was like, don't look back. Because if you look back and make eye contact, then
it's time.
So in my head, I was like, don't look back. And then luckily, my house is like the first house on like that side. Yeah. So I went through my drive-through, and then I opened the door, knocked on the door. My brothers opened the door, and keeping in mind, I didn't look back, so I didn't know if anybody was actually behind me or if I was just like tripping. But I was like, either way, I'm not looking behind me. So then I went upstairs into like my brother's room, which was like the front side of the room, the house. So you could see like downstairs on the street, and then there was somebody there in the balaclava, like walking up and down the street. So then I told my mum, I was like, Mum, do you remember yesterday I had that dream where we got robbed? We prayed about it. So that dream wasn't necessarily that the family got robbed. That was more about I was going to get robbed.
Yeah.
And we prayed about it. And then look what God did. He didn't allow that thing to happen.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind, I had never had problems with anybody on my road. It wasn't at that thing where it's like every single day I was nervous.
You have to run through your house. No, it was
never like that. I'd never had anything like that. So it wasn't even a case of, oh yeah, it's just similar experiences that might have. It was never like that.
So what? That's mad.
So the fact that I had that dream, prayed about it, God heard my prayers and rebuked it. To me, that's not a coincidence.
No.
That's not just, oh yeah, you made it up in your head and stuff like that. That is God.
There's power in prayer.
Exactly.
Like, I have a friend who vividly dreams, similar to you, like, he really does. And I'm like, look at him sometimes. Like, he will talk about such specific details. Mm. And it, for him, there's like certain things which happen where they're so specific, they can't be just made up. And I think it's having that boldness. I think boldness is so important because we love to ignore things. As like people, we love to, whether we see someone struggling or someone trip over, or like whatever it is, you always just like mind your business kind of thing. And we do it with our own life sometimes. So you'll have a dream which is so specific and it's like a warning because the spiritual realm is clearly real.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of just ignore it because like when you actually have to face it, that's where it gets real and scary. But like through prayer, like you basically like rebuked it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think having boldness in whatever you do with faith, like when you see something which may be dark, attack it head on rather than you could have been like, oh, I'm not getting that. Yeah. Just ignore that.
Yep.
And who knows what could have happened. So yeah, bro, it's real.
That's crazy. And like even, you know, like in Christianity, how there's prophets and stuff like that, but there's also people who use that kind of gift of prophecy in the darkness as well. I'm not one of them guys, but there's certainly been times where it's like God has shown me that like it's a gift and you can have that gift of prophecy. So for example, it's weird because I wouldn't say I'm a prophet. I'm not a prophet, guys. Like I'm not a prophet.
You heard it here first.
But I had a dream back in like 2022 that one of my boys had an old fashioned Mercedes car.
I was like, Issa,
like I had a dream that you had this old fashioned Mercedes car. And keeping in mind at that time, he didn't drive, he didn't have a car, no driving license, license, nothing like that. So I just had a random dream. And then literally 2 years later, he had an old-fashioned Mercedes car. And I didn't even clock at the time. It's only when I look back on my notes, because I write down my dreams on my notes. So I look back and it said like November 2022, I was with Issa and he had this old-fashioned black Mercedes car. And then on Issa's story, so he posted a picture of his car, I took a screenshot of it and then it was the same car that I saw in my dream.
And
I was like, bro, how insane is that? Are you going to say like, that's a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. Like,
no.
It's so weird.
Have you had like a dream about like Arsenal winning the league? And my bro, we've been waiting. No, but for real, that's...
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's serious. Like, it's not scary, but...
It just shows.
It shows. There's a lot of powers we're so unaware of.
Mm.
And that specifically... It's just crazy.
So
there's nothing to describe. I don't even know what to say about it.
It's supernatural. It only can be described by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's a bit of a testimony, but that just shows me why Jesus is
proof.
Is proof because I can't deny it. Like once you've tasted, you can't go back to how you were.
That's it.
You can't.
As like you need to question these things as well. Mm. I think like faith, without questioning your faith, it's not really faith.
Yeah.
You're just blindly following someone else, your parent, your church, your friends. It's like when you've actually tussled and questioned your own faith and like done them hard yards, it's undeniable. Mm. So like, if you're just there like, yeah, I believe in God, why? It's like you need, because when you get challenged, if you get challenged, like your faith has to be, you have to have like some foundation to it. It's only when you ask yourself these questions like, I need to understand why, like go deeper. And I see it now, you're Christian, but you don't even know Jesus. Yeah. And it's not, it doesn't, no, like, you know, and not judge him, but like, ask why, like, really, them hard questions you're not supposed to ask, ask them, like, why? Why is Jesus this? Or why do I feel like that? And you'll get the answers.
Mm. Yeah, that's facts, man. That's facts. But one thing I kind of struggled with is with my Christian journey, especially like being a man in Christ. And I feel like this is perhaps a bit of a problem in the Christian community. There's not a lot of spaces where men can fellowship and when men can actually talk about their faith openly and just kind of like be vulnerable in that kind of setting. Because I know for me personally, because of where I grew up, like it's a very Asian and kind of atheist kind of area. So there's not a lot of people that are Christian.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I'd find myself like being kind of an isolated
by
Christian.
Yourself,
like, so I never had like somebody to, you know, if I was going through like warfare or something, there's nobody that I could like, you know, get some advice from or pray for me or something like that. I could ask my mum, but sometimes you need some kind of like fellowship
outside,
as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, what's your opinion on that and with like men and fellowship and, you know, how important is it in a Christian's life?
I think for men, like being vulnerable is like a weakness, right? It's always been told like if you're vulnerable, you're weak. But it's actually the opposite. The more you can like own not only the good parts of your life, but the bad parts, no one has that power over you, or you don't even have that power over all those, like, if you can't control the things which, like, you're scared of, such as vulnerability, then they'll control your life. So within faith, like, you have to come as you are. You have to be vulnerable before God. Like, you have to actually surrender. Mm-hmm. And in most aspects of life, men struggle to do that, right? Yeah. So it's very hard to find a way to, like, balance the, you know, actual psychological element of like how they've lived their whole life. Because I'm also big on not just faith, but like, you know, therapy, like self-responsibility and like really understanding who you are. Because faith, you need faith, but you also need to understand like I've got a lot of work to do as well, just fixing all the habits I've had. Mm-hmm. And I think for men, it's super hard to just submit. Mm-hmm. So finding fellowship nowadays, I think because Christianity, you know, it's on the front page like the Daily Mail and stuff, it's becoming more popular. So it's allowing people to maybe lean in more. Mm-hmm. But don't be ashamed to like actively seek it. Mm-hmm. I'd say like the best like defense is offense. If you're feeling under attack, you need to go, whether that's find fellowship groups, find someone to like have a prayer group, have people around you who not only got that maturity in faith, they don't have to be old, they can be young, like people have really walked the walk you're also trying to walk, and they can guide you. So I'm super blessed, like I've got good friends, like I'm also hosting my own communities where, like I always say, I am not guiding people, I'm just cultivating a space for people to fellowship. And I'm seeing more guys lean into it, and it's important. There's not as many guys, I think, in social media in general. And like I always say, I never wanted to do this. This was like not the plan. Like I always say, this is long. Like, like I'll be lying to you, bro. If I'm here saying like I wake up every day, just can't wait to, it's tough. This the walk, the carrying your cross every day is difficult. And by going through those difficult moments, you really find out so much about yourself. And I think with this walk, it's meant to be difficult. So if you have people who can be like, by the way, it's not gonna be easy. It's not gonna be, you know, wake up every day and you're always just happy, and like there will be days like that for sure. But there's also days where you're in the valley, like in the darkest moments, in the wilderness. What do you do then? You need other people to lean on. And that's why I always say, like, we're described as sheep. Funny enough, I'm running a brand, but just like the way it's all worked together. But yeah, we describe the sheep, and sheep are no teeth, no claws. We're like useless when it comes to being attacked, right? The only protection we have is the flock and the shepherd. So of course you need a prayer life, you need a relationship with God, but you also need the herd. You need to have people around you to not only hold you responsible and accountable, but to help you in times of your need. Because like, bro, life's tough. Like, it's hard, man. We can't figure it all out. We can't lean on our own understanding. I've done it my whole life, and it's, I've never been able to reach that goal of fulfillment without, you know, help. And yeah, through the grace of God, like I've been blessed to have good friends. Even my dad's like going to church now with me as well, and being able to kind of say, it's not easy. Like, oh, you know, I feel down today. Am I even a Christian? It's like, yes, like, I feel down most days as well. That's part of it. But there's also days you feel like great and life's perfect. You're going to constantly go through up and down. And I think for guys and anyone, by that matter, like it's okay to be vulnerable and speak about things and say you're struggling with X, Y, and Z, because we all, again, I think 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about like is it 10? Where it's like, we are all flat, like we all struggle, like our man, we're all equal in that. Like there's no one, I was literally reading it yesterday, it's like, there's no one who hasn't dealt with what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's what, and Paul's saying like, we've all gone through it. So like, why lie? Why make, oh, I'm perfect? Like, no, we all have problems.
Yeah, we're all messed up.
We need help.
Yeah.
So yeah, bro, like fellowship's super key for all, especially guys, because you know, even when it comes to suicides, like it's mainly men, yeah. Young men as well. And I'm telling you, like, if you have other people there to support you, we'd see such a change in that aspect and that statistic.
100%, 100%. And on social media more recently, like, you made a point to, you know, your audience that you're not a Christian content creator. You're like, I'm not a Christian content creator. I'm just a content creator who's a Christian. So talk a bit more about that, because when I'm even like making content with like, you know, this podcast and stuff, I kind of was stuck a bit because I was like, I don't want to be a Christian content creator. I was like, I don't want people to just think of me as like this Christian content creator. I don't want to be labeled as that, because what does that even mean, like a Christian content creator? I was like, I'm a content creator who just happens to be a Christian. So when you spoke about that, I was like, no, he's speaking facts. So what kind of compelled you to like say that and be like, nah, guys, stop referring to me as that kind of thing?
I hate labels in general, right?
Yeah.
And like even religion, like we're not religious. If you actually understand Jesus, he was against religion. So it's like the whole labeling thing, it's just human nature to be like, you're this, you're in that bracket. And it's like, as much as faith is a big part of my life, there's so much more to me as well. Like I like to play tennis now. Yeah. I like football. I like travel. So like, am I a Christian tennis player? Are you a Christian podcast host? Are you a Christian sound tech? Like, you know, where do you draw the line? Because, and I think people love to label you things because then it allows you to be within a box. So, you know, would a Christian play tennis with a female? No, that's not very, like, it's just, and I'm so over that whole nonsense. And I just had enough, because enough people have labeled me like that. And I'm like, I'm not. they don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but it's like, when you actually talk about it point blank, like, are you a Christian shop assistant? It's like, no, I'm a shop assistant who's Christian. Same as me. Yeah. I make content. Like, yes, part of my content is faith-based. But that's just the journey I'm on. Like, if you look at my other content, it was travel as well. Mm-hmm. So in the world of, we are like in the world, but we're not of the world.
Yeah.
So you also need to be relatable, because if you can only hang around with Christians and you're only cultivating space just for Christians, you've not really understood the whole message.
Turned into a Pharisee almost.
That is literally it.
Yeah.
Like, we're called to hang around with people, unbelievers, because that little seed, you don't know, like, we're called to spread the message, not to people who already understand the message. That's so like, even with my own community, I'm like, everyone can come.
Yeah.
There's no, that's why it's not a Christian community. Yes, it's faith-based.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Bible. We're having fun, but anyone can come. Yeah. Like, I knew Noah's Ark before I was, you know, saved. So like, I might get that Christian right. Like,
yeah.
And then you'd be like, oh, these people are kind of cool. Like, they're not white robes and candles and saying you're going to hell. Because I've had those experiences. Mm. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I get super, I was riled up. When I made that video, bro, I was vexed. But it's so funny because God humbled me like straight after. So like, I know he's got a sense of humor. But I was super prevalent. Like, stop labeling yourself. Like, we don't have it figured out. I am no teacher. Most people aren't, especially content creators. We're held to a standard, which is not only unfair on us, but unfair full stop. Mm. Followers don't equate wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, facts. Some of the wisest people I know don't even have Instagram. They don't even spread the message. You have to like actually go to their Bible study. Mm. And it's like, those are the people who should be telling you how to do a certain walk. I'm not saying you can't do this. Mm. Lived experience is important. I'm not going to go up here and say, guys, as a married man, even though I'm not married, this is how you should live your life. No. The Bible says that. Of course, you can take reference from it, but I think we can over-exalt ourselves.
100%.
And God will humble you. And I'm just, it's like a warning to not call me a Christian content creator, because that gives me also a status which I'm not worthy of yet. I'm not in no place of teaching people. Again, I'm just documenting my journey. And yeah, there might be some nuggets of wisdom, but there's also a lot of struggle. And I'm just trying to be as open and honest, because that is, this is it. We're told that the only blessing we're really given is finding joy in the tribulation, in the struggle. So life is just a big suffering exercise, and there's parts of it which are joyous.
Yeah.
And I'm also showing that suffering rather than, God loves you. God, because he does.
He does.
But he also says that you might have to go through the fire, but I'm going to look after you. Like, that's also important to know, because you're going to go through that fire, and you're going to be like, wait, God never told me. You guys told me that he loves me. Why am I in this situation? So yeah, like, I'm super prevalent. Like, I ain't a Christian. I'm just me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Perfect, bro. Right. So we're going to move on to a segment of the podcast that I like to call Withholding Nothing.
All right.
So it's, the name originated from a song by William McDowell called Withholding Nothing. Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
You know that? But yeah, the song's called Withholding Nothing. And basically the main part of the song goes, I surrender all to you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing. So it basically just is saying that, like, it's about being open and vulnerable and basically saying there's no secrets, there's nothing, you know, like that. So, yeah, so this segment is basically like, you know, asking, like, you know, deeper questions and just kind of getting to know, like, the deeper side of, like, you know, the guest and stuff. So, first question, when was the last time that you cried?
Oh, God. I cry at proper weird things, you know. I think I was watching a Rick and Morty episode. A while back, and there's moments I, like, in church felt super emotional, but there was this one episode, and it was from the new season, and it was when Rick was trying to get back his dead wife, and he met her, and it was just a very, she got wiped from everyone's memory, effectively. And then he kind of, like, admitted to, like, her existence being gone because he always wanted to get her back and he never got her back. And then it turns out, like, someone wiped her memory from everyone. So no one even remembered her. Diana, her name was. And it just made me, like, so emotional because I'm like, I went through a bad breakup and I'm like, I know how it feels to, like, chase after someone. Mm-hmm. Not actually physically, but in your mind, like, idolizing them and being like, you know, one day it'll work. And then it was like, for him, he admitted, like, she's gone forever. And I was watching, I was like, oh my God, like, what? Like, I recommend going to watch it. If you want to, like, a tearjerker, yeah. That Rick and Morty episode, proper random.
How long ago was that?
A few months ago. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, it's weird because it's like, it's the smallest thing sometimes. Like, even when I go on TikTok and it's like, you know those videos where it's like, you know, people will be being away, like, in the army and stuff like that, and then they see their families and stuff, and it's like,
them ones nearly, they could get me. I'm not a crier. Like, really, like, me even crying at that is a big step. Like, I went for years, like, I would never cry. Funeral, like, nothing.
Yeah.
But those little moments, bro. Like, I cried at Soul. I don't know if you remember that Disney film Soul years ago. This is like 5-6 years ago. Came out and it was about a black pianist who died. He fell into a sewer, but then his soul, like, lived on. He was trying to get back to, bro, it started making me cry. And I was like, what? It is a sad thing, but it's like the most random things could set me off.
Yeah, another question. So when was one time you were at your lowest, but nobody knew?
So there's a moment I was in Paris and we just did a show. We did a festival there. And, like, looking at my Instagram, lit, like, thousands of people, you know, I was after part, like, it looked, everything was great. And then I remember I didn't really speak to my mum at this point. I haven't spoke to her in a while. I was just on my own vibe. Like, I took like 98 flights that year, so I was just thinking I'm better than everyone. In my head it was just like, you have to hit me. I remember I had this revelation, bro. Like, I prayed and, like, I wanted these moments so bad, like, to be traveling the world, working in music, selling out shows. Like, this was my dream. And I've never felt so empty. Because the people who saw me when I was eating a bag of nuts with a towel from my bed, I don't even speak to. Like, my ex, my mom, like, these people who are so, like, impactful in my life, who helped me through thick or thin, like, unconditional love. Like, that's one thing I could say, my ex unconditionally loved me, because there was points where it's like, why would you even?
Yeah.
And I look back and I was like, I don't even have a relationship with these people. Like, we don't even speak. And I remember I called my mum after years and it was like 7 a.m. in Paris. And I was like crying and she was like, what's going on? And then, no, I messaged her, I said, hi, are you up? And she's like, what's up? Like, I haven't spoke to her in like years.
Crazy.
And then I called her and I was just crying down the phone, bro. And it was like, you know, hours I spoke to her on the phone and I can't remember exactly what the conversation was. However, like, it was just everything we kind of spoke about. And then, yeah, I remember coming off the phone, back to work, just, you know, and we started to have a relationship after that, but I felt like you would never have saw that. You would have saw me and been like, what a strong Pat. And I was literally crying like a child on the phone to my mum.
Yeah.
Like, after managing artists and telling this person to do that, and it's like, that was the lowest of it. Like, what, that moment, so it was horrible. Mm. But I'm happy now.
Yeah, and that's how you know social media is not real.
It's never.
Like, it's not real. Like, bro, people think they know you from social media as well. They think just because you post a few clips here and there that they know you as a person. And it's like, nah.
Bro.
It's all a lie, bro.
It's a highlight reel.
It is.
Like, yeah, that is where you're seeing the best parts. Like, if you watch Giroud's highlight reel, you'll think he's the best player ever. Mm. He's a good player, but Giroud scored some amazing goals. But, like, that's the highlights. Mm. Look at the whole thing. He was okay. He was decent. And it's the same, like, with us, like, you'll have amazing moments, but like, steeped in them is sorrow, guilt, sadness, dark, like depression. I went through all of that. I just never spoke about it. Mm. Never spoke back to anyone. No one knew, like, no one. Only until it gets to a point where it's like, what do I do? Either I'm jumping off the building or I need to speak and get help. Like, it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next question is about love. So you mentioned a bit about, you know, being heartbroken and stuff like that, because a lot of people, like, it's actually quite typical, you know, when people get into relationships, they decide to, you know, go find themselves in like a different country after like a heavy breakup and stuff. But you've never really mentioned online about, like, too much about, you know, that relationship and how that was and stuff like that. So what's kind of a lesson that you've learned about love? Like, the main lesson that you've learned.
The main lesson I've learned from love, that love is compromise. Like, my idea of love was perfection, meaning like everything had to be perfect. We had to like the same things, and it's clearly impossible. That is just not realistic. Mm-hmm. I realized love is compromise, and I would never compromise. It's my way or the highway in everything I did, business, work, relationships. It's like, not in a sense, it's like, all right, I ain't doing this. Like, I just walk off, block, life goes on. And I realized, but anything, you have to compromise. There's a point where you might have to just give up whatever it may be, time, effort, attention, money. And yeah, for me, it was like, I was never willing to compromise on anything. Like, I would, obviously, within reason, yeah. But I mean, just like, if I believe certain things, it's like, I'm not gonna argue about it. I'm just not gonna talk about it. We're not even gonna have a discussion. Like, it's whatever. And that's just not healthy for any kind of relationship, friends, family, your partner. So yeah, like, for me, the main lesson I learned from love, like, real love is compromise. Same way God will look at you and be like, look how broken and sinful and deceitful this person is, but I'll still love them. Because you have to, like, he gives us the ultimate compromise. He shouldn't. Like, we're not even worthy to lace his boots.
That's so actually true, you know. He actually he compromised, like, his position, like, in heaven to come.
He gave his only son for him to die for our sins. He compromised, you know, he had to say, like, I need to see what these lot have really been going through. Sent his perfect son, who never sinned. The compromise he's given for us to even be here, like, your story, who knows what could have happened. But, like, the compromise with everything, that is love. Because we want our way. And he had let us have our way, but he protected us whilst we're figuring it out. And one day we're going to look back and be like, I'm so stupid, sorry, like, my bad. Like, forgive me, I'll repent.
That actually hit me deep, you know, like the whole compromise thing. I don't know why I started crying. That's actually
sad, bro.
That's actually deep.
Yeah,
compromise. Because I feel like sometimes, like, in our Christian journeys, like, we get so caught up on, like, this is what I want, though, but I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and because you're God, you can just do everything for me.
Yep.
But then we're so quick to forget, like, the kind of compromise that, you know, like, Jesus, like, we forget all about that. And I think in my walk as well with Christ, it's like, I've always just thought about myself. I'm like, but I don't want to do this, but I don't want to do that. And I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this. But it's like, but I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to, like, meet God in the middle and be like, okay, you know what, God, I'm going to give up this. And, you know, I can work with you here. It's always been like, nope, I don't want to do this. And if you want me to do this, but I don't want to do it, then I'm not speaking to you. I'm not praying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, when you were talking about compromise, that's why it kind of hit me a bit. Because I was like, I don't do that.
We don't.
I don't compromise.
Have you seen the Sistine Chapel where the like the painting of like God reaching out his hand and then there's man.
Yes.
If
yes,
you
yes.
look closely, like God is fully stretched out. The depiction of God is like he is stretched out. He can't reach his hand out anymore. Yet the depiction of man has a slight bend in the elbow or the finger, and it shows like there's a little gap, which we need to meet him there. He's fully stretched out. He's chasing after us. We need to meet him there. And I think that's that bit there is compromise. We've got all our way, but we need to also compromise for God. Because think of all the compromise he's done for us. So, yeah, for me, love is compromise. That's what's, from my past relationship, it taught me that. And following faith, it's taught me like, love is not perfect. It's just compromise.
That is mad.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to get emotional over that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, you got me, bro. You got me on my own show as well. I'm editing that out, bro. I'm cutting it out. So what's one piece of advice that you've been given that will always stick with you?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm good, huh? One piece of advice. Oh, there's so many going through my head, like, this isn't a piece of advice, right? This is so random. It was Piers Morgan's old Twitter bio. And it was, one day you're the cock of the walk, the next the feather duster. And it's always stuck in my head because if you don't understand what that means, it's like one day you're that guy, you're the cock of the walk, as like incognito to say, like you're the man. And the next you can be the thing dusting off the shelves. And it's like, always be humble. Like, I think for me, my biggest issue throughout all, even till now, is pride. Like, there's so many problems we all face, but like pride is like dying to self every day and like practicing humility. So yeah, the best bit of advice from, it wasn't Piers, but like I saw, cause there's so many great bits of advice I've been given, but that one just always sticks in my head and I always go back to it. Cause like one day you can be the man or what you deem to be the man and the next you can be nothing. And I've seen it, Solomon, David, most powerful, wisest people can fall from grace because, you know, for them it's lust. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we all will fall short, right? But it's like being humble in those moments, knowing that like, any day it can happen. I was speaking to a homeless guy when I was waiting for my taxi to take me from the station to my hotel. His name was Billy. And he was saying that, you know, his wife cheated on him November last year and he came and found him. So he didn't want to live in the house anymore. So he said, I'm not living here. And the council said, well, you've made yourself homeless. So he's been living on the streets since then. And, you know, he's like, I'm not stupid. Like, you know, he's dealing with mental health issues and obviously on the streets it's rough. But like, we had a conversation for like 10 minutes. Like, and he was like, I'm not stupid. I'm switched on. It's just like, you know, life is tough. And I'm just thankful that in 2 weeks I got a place they're giving me. And it's just getting to those 2 weeks. And I was like, talking about like, obviously faith and whatnot. He's like, yeah, I actually went to church. I can't read or write, but like I could hear the song when it was being played and I was like, this is really nice. I was like, bro, lean into that, like don't give up on that. And I was like, you're gonna now face new problems because once you get your place, you'll be new responsibilities you're gonna have to deal with, right? So it's like, just remember, even in his case, right, he's still blessed that you're able to talk, walk. Like, we are all fortunate no matter where we are, because he even said there's people who I've met who are so depressed and they've got all the money in the world, yet he was happy to even have a conversation. His words were, thank you for talking to me. That's the last thing he said. And I had so much gratitude to even like speak to these people, like anyone, right? And his stories like even motivated me. And it's like, that can happen to you. Like, even I've got friends who've been in prison, my own dad. And he's like, you'd be around people who you'd never think could be here. Mm-hmm. They were at the top CEOs and now they're in the same kit as all of us, these grey tracksuits. So humility will get everyone so far. Like, remember, you are still special and loved and selected. Like, you're chosen, but always remember it can be taken away as quickly as it can be given. And we are just fortunate to even be here. Even look into the science. Like, if you're into science, right, which science proves God, mm-hmm. the odds of you even being here, if you look how many zeros after that, is you should every day wake up with so much vigor and energy and zealousness, because you're like, the fact that I'm even born is an anomaly. Mm. The amount of zeros, I don't even know what number that is. So even to get to this stage, your lineage, the stars, like everything forming to get here. And it's like, that's why it's just humility. We're just, like, there's no one greater than other. Like, just practice humility every day. So yeah, that's my favorite bit of advice I've got.
That's powerful, bro.
Yeah.
That is powerful. I have no words after that. But yeah, so we're going to move on to like the last bit of the segment. So this segment is called Top of the Class.
All right.
So it's kind of based off the fact that, you know, I grew up in like an African household, obviously. So my dad always used to say to me, when I was your age, I was top of the class. Yeah. And, you know, like I had like 100% in all my exams and all that kind of stuff there. So I created this segment to just kind of give like a bit of a general knowledge quiz.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
But I kind of like tailor it to the guests.
So oh, I love this.
Because obviously I know that, you know, you're a... like you started hosting like, you know, quizzes and stuff like that. So this should be easy. So if you don't get 100% in this...
Hey, come, let's go.
False
quiz master. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So first question. So name the place where Jesus walked on water.
The Sea of Galilee.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
I have to keep a stern face just for the effect, by the way. So if I'm staring at you, I'm just...
It's right.
For effect. So is that your final answer?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yep. But
so, what is the shortest verse in the Bible?
He wept. John. It's in John. He wept. Final answer.
Kind of correct.
Are you talking about Psalms as well?
So, the correct answer is Jesus wept, but depending on which translation, then it's like, yeah. And it was in John. So you know what? I'll give you that.
Jesus wept.
Okay. That was right.
I read the ESV in it.
Oh, ESV.
Yeah.
Okay. That's correct then. You got it right. So number three, what golden image did the Israelites make at Mount Sinai?
The calf, golden calf. When Moses went up to get the commandments, he said, yo, chill. And they said, no, we're praying to a golden calf, my boy. So, final answer. Look at it. Yep.
You sure?
Yep. 3 out of 3. Thank you.
Correct answer, bro. It's a golden calf. How much bread and fish did Jesus use to feed more than 5,000 people?
Two and five.
Two of what?
Two fish, 5 loaves.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
It's correct.
Bro, you can't...
Correct. Okay. So... Can you name Jesus' 4 siblings that are named in the Bible? Gotcha.
His siblings? Oh, I know.
Gotcha.
There's only one, but I don't even know his name. Like, I know his name, but I don't know his name. I was literally... can you give me a letter of one of them?
I can't say anything.
His 4 siblings.
That I mentioned in the Bible, yeah.
Barbara, I don't know.
You can guess one. Guess one name.
It's in my head. Like, bro, I literally remember seeing the name the other day. His brother. I know it's all wrong. Joseph, Timothy, Bob and John.
Right, so incorrect. Yeah. So it was Simon, Judas, Joseph, and James.
I was going to say Joseph, but I know that's his dad, but I don't want to sound stupid. Joseph was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, so that's in Mark 6:3, if you want to read that one later.
I might have to read that.
Next question. So what is the 5th commandment in the Bible?
Can I just say something first? I've seen that trend, what's going around, and it's like they're taking a mick out of like that podcast, guys, and it's like, thou shalt not get sendy. I don't know if you've seen
sendy.
Bro, I don't know. It's like some meme what's going around. That's what's just in my head right now. It's like, thou shalt not get... It doesn't say in the Bible, thou shalt not get sendy, right? And he's like, some proper brain rot. I told you, my FYP is just crazy, but I'm going to say thou shalt not murder.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I know.
So it's honor your father and mother.
Ah, yeah, we skipped that.
What's the question? So, what chapter? No. Wait. How do I phrase this? So, where in the Bible discusses the topic of tattoos?
Leviticus.
Leviticus.
Yeah.
35 months.
Yeah.
Correct.
I haven't even read Leviticus yet. We haven't even got there yet.
Okay, so final question. How many books are in the Bible?
66. Final answer.
66.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
smashed it, bro.
Sweet.
I'm going to stop the podcast here because we ran out of time. But thank you again, Wes, for coming on the podcast. Honestly, I've enjoyed the conversation. You've been great. You've convicted me, even when I'm like listening to you as well. Is there anything that you've got coming up that you want to say to, like, you know, the guests and stuff? Like, is there anything that you're working on? Anything that you want to plug yourself with? Like,
yeah, right now I'm working on, I said, my community, trying to build it out. We did a Bible quiz the other day. I'm really bad with admin. Supposed to be 50 people, like, cap. 450 mm-hmm. people got the, like, email to come. Ooh. Yeah, so, like, we're growing daily. But, yeah, guys, like, again, if you're in London, or people even travelled from, like, Leeds, and, like, someone came from, like, Lithuania.
What?
Yeah, like, people are hungry. So, yeah, look out for that. And, yeah, just each day, just picking up that cross, bro. And that's it. Like, you'll see. Wherever I get up to, you'll see it on my TikTok, on my Instagram. So, yeah, bro. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, man, for coming. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Right.
Sweet.
We're good?
Nice.
All good.